hear that? All that furious typing? No? Right, because the pace of news is down and the media's summer holiday started. At least until summer game sales and listicles start getting churned out. But don't worry, it's never a completely quiet week. The evergreen topics live up to their name. New collections, new legals, and bad decisions. Enough to fill time. Sort of like what I'm doing for this intro. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to bring you the news we do have. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 919 of our show for tonight, June 19th of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts for the last 19.90 years. Because next week is a big number. First off, we have Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was obviously listening to Jason's intro and kind of laughing at, yeah, it's a slow news week to this week in the gaming world. You know, we're coming off that not E3 period and the, you know, summer breaks and things. And there's a few things to talk about, but not a ton. And so, there's that. And then... So on top of that, then I'm thinking in the real world, there's actually a lot going on today. Juneteenth is today. Happy Juneteenth. Father's Day. Yep. Happy Father's Day to anybody that applies to. Pride Month still going on. It's probably somebody's birthday. What am I forgetting? There's a lot going on today. So busy June 19th. So happy everything to all of you out there. And play some video games to celebrate. Also want to say hello to Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki. Who for some reason I'm not hearing tonight. I don't know if it just cut out for a second.
Muted, that's why.
Oh, there you go. Okay. You see, you got me thinking it's on my end. How are you doing, Loki?
I'm doing fine.
Good. So yeah, there's a lot of weird tech odd stuff going on, and that is because I'm running on a new computer tonight. During the week this week, I actually got a new to me computer. I haven't upgraded my computer in the last 5 years. Alan was very much like, I don't want to build a new computer because especially I don't want to do two. Can we just buy like a pre-build? And I was like, sure, let's do it. Let's buy a pre-build computer. And so we got matching computers from one of those pre-build companies. They didn't give it to me for free. So I'm not giving them an ad. It depends on what you consider expensive. I'll text you later. I'm not really comfortable saying the budget on air because, you know, it's some people are.
That's, yeah. I wanted to know relative to your ideas.
It's, I would say it was on the pricier end, what we did, but we had some work bonus type things, PTO cash out that we were able to do, to make it work. So, we were able to do that. And, actually, it's funny because Bobby Blackwolf actually helped before us here on OLR because Alan, you know, he is more of a tech mindset, but he wanted a second pair of eyes. And he's like, who else like builds computer stuff? And does, I mean, we know a lot of people that do that stuff, but, you know, like really gets into the weeds of that stuff. And so he thought of Bobby, and I guess Bobby did give the computers his blessing. So whereas the new computer stuff is great, and actually OBS with the import export functionality of the scenes made it really easy to carry most of the show stuff over. The audio stuff is really a little bit of a mess tonight. And what I'm also learning just now for the first time, a bad mistake I made. Oops, I forgot to install the Stream Deck software.
Jeez, but that's not very big or a long install.
No, it's not. And I only really, really, really need it for one thing. And that is the little sidebar that shows when we're live on Twitch, because we do tape live every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice of Geeks Network, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And the only thing I really need it for, I can control the scenes if I need to on my list in OBS, but I use it for the up and down for the right bar. Now, I do know of and Bobby is probably typing in chat right now, the plan B for that. I do know there is one. It's just a lot less convenient, but that's probably what I'll just have to do for the night until I can actually. But I knew it's those little things like that I was going to discover as we were going on through the show tonight. Looking in chat, Bobby Blackwolf says, Alan gave me the three finalists and I told him my 1, 2, and 3. Yes, they played the computer dating game, basically, which was nice. And Questbuster says, pricey right now, but that's an investment for the years ahead. Absolutely. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. We're new homeowners and we kind of had a discussion. We could really use a new kitchen table. But do we want a new kitchen table right now, or is the one that we're using good enough? And honestly, we kind of need new computers because the computers are what we use more than anything. And I think Alan has been feeling a little bit creatively stagnant because, you know, he was streaming on Twitch for a long time. He stopped for the last little bit. And I think it's because he was getting frustrated, like the technical limitations of the computer. And, you know, he can't stream things like Elden Ring because the computer he had wouldn't run it. Well, trust me, this new one will run it and he can stream it if he wants, whenever he decides to get back up and running with that. So, and the same goes for me, really, is I don't have to rely on my Xbox Series X to stream everything. I should be able to do a lot more on the PC. On that note, I also saw in chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, somebody had suggested, oh, you should start streaming OLR in 1080p. And actually, I did have this. Actually, no, it was Alan that said that early on. I did have that same thought early on because I was like, oh, that would be fun. But here's the thing. Because we aren't partner, Twitch doesn't downsample the stream for everyone else. So if I broadcast at 1080, everybody would be forced to watch at 1080, and that might not work with your bandwidth and your Wi-Fi and the way many of you tune into this show on Sunday nights. It wouldn't affect anybody on the podcast feed, but I want to be mindful of those that are here on Sunday nights as well. And so that's why I chose not to go that route. However, I did bump it back up to 60 frames a second. We were only on 30 frames a second, and I'm not sure 60 frames is going to change that much. But there you go. I did throw that little, but we're going to still be in 720p for a little bit. So Bobby actually does say, oh, Twitch does downsample, but it's not guaranteed. And that's honestly, the lack of guarantee is enough for me. Because the one night I decide to do 1080p, it'll be, oh, say the 20th anniversary of Orange Lounge Radio. And then people are saying, I can't hear it. I can't hear it. The show's a flop and all that stuff. So, all right. Anyhow, let's get into tonight's kickoff topic. There's a lot of stuff going on in gaming. No, there's not. But we're going to pretend there is. There's a couple big headlines, at least. So let's get into the big headlines. And we'll start with tonight's kickoff topic. We'll go over to Loki, who's going to start us off tonight.
Yeah, so they did this is kind of the second part of Key 3, the not E3 event that takes place around Summer Game Fest. But Square Enix had their Final Fantasy VII 25th anniversary live stream, and they announced stuff for that. So, of course, the next being the next part of the Final Fantasy VII remake, which is now Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and it's continuing on the story there. And then they said that's going to be coming out, I believe, next fall. And along with that, they confirmed that it is a 3-part series that's going to be, which kind of we figure as much since the first part kind of took place, which, you know, back in the original version, it would have been like the first disc of the game. So, you know, they're going to make it 3 parts. And then along with that, of course, we've got them remaking the, what was it, Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core is going to be remade as well, and that's coming out this year, so this fall, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, it looks good. I need to finish playing through it.
Oh, you never finished the remake?
I didn't.
Oh, it's so good. Well, I have. Okay, so here's the thing. People have been calling this game Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, and now we know that that isn't really going to be the name. And it's some of the takes on social media have me kind of wondering who's got a hot take that actually hasn't played the Final Fantasy VII remake, because I'm going to tell you what I believe is a minor plot spoiler. But at this point, Loki, I'm sorry, it's been out for 2 years. I feel if the plot points are sensitive, you would have played it by now. Here's the thing. If you play through the game, the whole gag about it being a remake is a plot point. and the fact that the game, there is a certain legacy and a certain set of rules that the game feels like it has to live up to. And there comes a very clear part in the game where the game says, we are going to deviate from this. And what happens is that a major character is killed who is not supposed to be killed. And what happens is that basically a outside force, and I'm not going to get into everything, kind of rewinds that incident so that that doesn't happen. Because when that originally happens, it's like a what the fuck moment, because that person doesn't die, for what you know. But that was the game setting the rules to say, this is not the same Final Fantasy VII you knew. This is a Final Fantasy VII multi. I would say this whole multiverse phenomenon that we've seen with the Doctor Strange, Everything Everywhere All at Once. This is really what Final Fantasy VII is kind of at now, is that this is a Final Fantasy VII separate universe where a different series of events has taken place. And it kind of compounds that when you get towards the end of the game and a series of events that happens at the end of the game that kind of shows like, wait a minute, now, and this is why it's important that Crisis Core is coming out again, because there's a series of events where it's like, wait a minute, this isn't the way it played out in Final Fantasy VII. So yes, Fifth Dream in chat says, then it's a redo, not a remake. Absolutely. And I think a really appropriate way to phrase it is that it's a rebirth. And that's why I think this title that they have for part two is super appropriate, because it's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And so everybody's asking, well, is Aerith going to die? Is Aerith going to die?
Please?
It's not guaranteed. I don't think she will. I'm not sure. I'm not so sure I'm going to hedge my bets on that.
They'll kill her and then they'll rewind time again and kill her again.
Maybe. I don't know. I think now that's the big question mark, is the game going to play out the way we expect it to? Because the answer is already no. And so everything is up for renegotiation. And there's this whole fact that, like, you know, you had the whole side story, the DLC, which, to be fair, I have not played through. But we all know that Yuffie was not in the original game early on in the Midgar component. But they introduce her here in like a side. Meanwhile, in another part of the galaxy,
get her in mid. I thought there was a way to get her in Midgar. Like there was like a little playground area that there was a very small chance to get her, I thought.
Maybe, but we'll just say unintentionally. That's not like, or like, okay. That's not really the way most people experience that game, right? And so, it's very different in this remake. So, I think we need to stop calling this the Final Fantasy VII remake series, because if you played the first game, you already know this is not a shot for shot remake. And I thought it was quite frankly genius in the game that they made the expectations of doing a remake of Final Fantasy VII a plot point. Because when I was playing through the game, Alan walked into the room and he was like, you know what this is? He says, this is Nomura. This is a representation of the fans in the game. He said, this is Nomura's fans telling him he can't do this. By golly, he kind of nailed it. Like he called what it was like early on. So I that's why I actually thought Final Fantasy VII Remake actually was really, really good, is that it is not a shot for shot remake of Final Fantasy VII. And when you kind of get to that point, you start sort of realize, oh, the whole like we're remaking a legendary game and having to live up to the pressures of that is a plot point. I actually think it's brilliant. So anyway, so it's remake, rebirth, and then I'm sure the third part will be recoded, reborn, resurrected. I don't know. So, but I'm sure. Oh, you know what? That's it. I think that's where it ends up going. Aerith dies, but then they realize that they can change these sorts of fates. And Final Fantasy VII Resurrected is bringing her back. That's my bet. So we'll see. But I am excited to give Crisis Core and all that stuff a play, because I didn't really play through it in when it was originally on PSP or any of that anyway. So, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says the end of Remake talks a lot about destiny and how certain characters know what destiny is and how we're going against destiny. Yes. And that was, it was a little more subtle in the original Final Fantasy VII, but it really beats you over the head with it in the remake. And that is the fact that Aerith knew she was going to die and Sephiroth knew he was going to kill her. And that in the original Final Fantasy VII, it's more subtle. It's something you don't really figure it out until the end. But in the remake, it's very explicit that this is something that they know through the game. So anyway, I know a lot of you might be going, oh, Rob, it's been 2 years. I haven't played the game. Why did you have to? Because I'm at a point where I can't let this social media discussion continue from uninformed individuals who continue to still think this is a literal remake of the game. And if you haven't gone, if you've gone the 2 years,
it's and reimaging.
Yeah. If you've gone the 2 years and not played it, then you've told me it's not that much of a high priority to you. And I need to clear the air. This, once you play the remake, you will understand it is not a remake. It's a reimagining, a recoding, all those words. So anyway, Tiger Claw in chat says we've seen stuff like this before where a character we thought died was brought back in a follow up and explained how this person somehow survived. Oh, it happens in movies and stuff all the time. Right. Or they magically come back through a videotape like Randy in the Scream movies or something like that. Or, they're talking about trying to get Matthew Lillard back in the Scream franchise. And it's like he very clearly died in the first movie. Well, no one's really dead in a horror movie now, are they? Right. So yeah. Oh, Bobby Blackwolf also points out Star Trek 2009. That's an excellent comparison to what's happening in the Final Fantasy VII universe. That is an excellent, excellent comparison. Is the Star Trek reimagining?
Although it is technically an alternate universe.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's very explicitly an alternate universe where, Final Fantasy VII isn't as explicit with that, but yeah, the Kelvin universe or whatever you want to call it. But then the gag is, and why not? Why don't I spoil a Star Trek movie too? Then when Star Trek, the second one came out, what was the one with Benedict Cumberbatch? What was the subtitle of that? Star Trek Beyond? No, that was the third one was Beyond. Star Trek Insurrection was the next gen. Into Darkness. Okay.
Into Darkness.
So plot twist for Into Darkness. Into Darkness is just the Wrath of Khan, but they don't tell you that until the end, but they do. But then that one kind of beats you over the head with it because they're kind of like these very clear plot points that happen in Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan. They were like, okay, but what if Kirk and Spock had their roles reversed? And that's why I thought that movie was kind of lame, is that they should have just from the start said they were doing a Wrath of Khan remake. I don't know. Anyway. All right. I'm getting off track, but I think this Final Fantasy VII stuff is, I'm a spoiler madman. Okay. But literally how old is that Star Trek movie? It's over 10 years old.
For an age, the statute of limitations has long since passed.
It is. I really think when it comes to video games, like 6 months is about the statute of limitations, and it's been like 2 years. So just wanted to say so. All right. Yeah. Bobby says we wanted to do a spoiler cast on Final Fantasy VII Remake after we both finished it. And yeah, it just we never really able to coordinate. And a lot of that is on me. So but yeah, Bobby says Rob and I geeked out over the ending. True. We did. And like because Bobby and I both played it and then we were like talking to each other on phones. It's like, oh, I can't talk about this on OLR because I don't want to ruin it for people. But this is so brilliant. This is so like, this is not what I expected to happen. It's so good. So, but I am intentionally so that you do have a reason to play it. Those of you that haven't done it over the last 2 years, I'm not telling you what all the changes are that they made because it is interesting. So experience that part for yourselves. But yes, I'm glad they're not calling it Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. And in my opinion, anyone that's telling you it should be Remake Part 2 did not play the first game. All right. All right. Thank you, chat. Now they're spoiling everything. All right. Thank you. Gamer Extrovert in chat says, can I spoil Returnal for everyone then? I love that game and don't mind ruining a few people's dreams. I would prefer you didn't because I still don't have a PS5, but I guess you are past the statute of limitations. Why don't you do this? Extrovert, if you have to spoil someone, text me, but don't ruin the chat. And by the way, it's good to see you. I haven't played it, but you can ruin it for me. I'll be okay. Because I also know, I see like spoilers for Drag Race and Survivor and stuff, and I still watch it because usually the journey is how to get there. So if it's a good story.
Isn't that the definition of a journey?
Yes, exactly. Or yeah, and E3VL talks about Darth Vader is Luke's father. Anyone our age knows that and probably knew that before. Well, maybe not quite our age, because some of us did get to see it in the theater as kids, but most people around our age probably knew that the first time they saw Empire Strikes Back. I know I did. Did that ruin the
movie? I saw that in the theater.
No.
Yeah. I was young, but I saw it in the theater. Actually, I saw Star Wars when I was 9 months old, so.
And it was quite a revelation at the time, right? It was huge. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was huge.
Well, I mean, not that I know anything about it since I was 9 months old. But I remember. I mean, it's probably the reason why Return of the Jedi is my favorite, because I was actually old enough to have more of a formative memory of seeing it.
Or take the movie Titanic. Yes, the boat sinks because it's based on that, you know, historical event. But even if you took the fiction part, she's an old lady at the beginning. You know, she lives through the event. You don't see Jack anywhere as an old man. You can guess what happens to Jack.
Like, nah, Jack knocked her up and ran off. The bum.
All right.
Anyway. Yeah, in the real version, he sat on the thing with her, and they didn't get hypothermia, and then he was like, oh, you know what? I don't like you anymore. Bye.
That's the
Passion of the Christ. I did not Jack's see that coming.
We'll talk about fiction.
That's the like multiverse movie I want to see. Not Passion of the Christ, but Titanic. I don't need to see torture porn. That's all the Passion of the Christ was. But I would love to see Titanic, but like the multiverse version that like plays out completely differently. I would love that.
They address that in Supernatural.
Do they?
in this one episode of Supernatural, and all because of the Titanic, Sam and Dean did not have an Impala. They had a Mustang, which is actually supposed to be the original car they were supposed to drive. Celine Dion did not become famous for the song. In fact, no one knew who she was. She was a lounge singer in Canada. they had like all these extra people existing in the universe. That was sort of the reason why they saved the Titanic, was to get extra people born. But it was pretty funny, like some of the differences. That episode was really, really good. It was also it's funny getting to see, you know, one of the Fates chew out some angels.
Some folks in chat talking about what the multiverse of Titanic might look like. Tiger Claw saying a multiverse of Titanic in which a universe the Titanic never sank. You have to be careful walking that line, because it was based on a historical event. People really did die. We don't want to be disrespectful, but we can poke all the fun we want at the fictional elements of that. However, I also know that there has been plenty of interesting science fiction type of stories told about major historical events going a different way. Like, that is a major plot point in a lot of things. So it doesn't have to be disrespectful. It's just kind of, it's just a careful line to walk. That's all I'm saying. But
and the other thing too, like thinking though, just like realistically, you know, if the Titanic hadn't sank, or the Olympic or the other ones also like that, that we probably wouldn't have the same safety laws on major sea vessels that we do now.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Let's see other comments. Questbuster now talks about the total like camp version of that alt history stuff, saying in Raise the Titanic, they raised the Titanic to build an anti-missile shield. Not joking. Yeah. Let's see. Gamer Extrover says, anyway, my takeaway from this is that Rose is a murderer in the Alpha Titanic verse. Yeah. Yeah.
So one other interesting thing, one of my favorite channels is Ask a Mortician.
Oh.
And, oh, yeah, her channel is fantastic. And also that British drag queen who does all the impersonations did her, too. It was beautiful. But she did one about what happened to the bodies. And pretty much the bodies have disintegrated.
Oh, wow.
Because of the underwater pressure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It makes sense.
But that's why they would find pairs of shoes. Just by themselves, pair of shoes.
Bobby Blackwolf says, Jamie's learning where to hide your body. Be nice. Well, you know, it's...
Oh, I already know a lot of ways to hide a body.
I hope this topic isn't too weird for people, but I want to assure everyone I'm very comfortable talking about this. I have a friend that I met through Rocky Horror who happens to be a mortician. And when my mom passed away, I found that it was actually a really, like, it was a really good friend to have. Because he was able to walk me through all these things that are very difficult about the, you know, cremation and all that stuff. And I knew I wasn't going to be taken advantage of, like with upsales or anything like that. Like, he really was just able to very plainly and effectively tell me and walk me through these steps. And like, there was like such a comfort in that, that I can't like articulate very well, but like, I really, and I, he sometimes comes into Twitch and watches some of these things. I don't know if he watches OLR, but if he happens to be out there, I just want to say, I know we don't talk every day, but I really appreciated that in that moment and having that comfort and so forth. So, sometimes it's good to know a mortician and keep some of those tips around, because it's that one of those things you don't want to use, but when you need it, it's nice.
Sometimes though, it's also good to just be Jewish.
Well, and faith and religion certainly play a lot.
No, there's a reason.
Oh.
24 okay. hour burial in a pine box.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah,
no,
it's
embalming.
It's very clear, very clear, very clear guidelines. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. I'm down for that. Although, honestly, I'm going to do the tree pod thing and be planted on federal land.
No, I
seriously,
like that idea.
Because
no, I love
if
that
bodies
idea.
Are buried on federal land, it can't be reclaimed for development.
Gamer Extifer, on the final note on Titanic here, and then I swear we're moving on. Gamer Extifer says, fun fact, it's common for shoes to wash up on shore with human feet in them because they're the first things to break apart from bodies that get thrown or drowned in the ocean. For instance, probably Jack's foot because Rose murdered him. That's a fun fact. Thank
Did you. You ever notice that his finger breaks off when she lets go of his hand?
No.
I recognized it the first time I saw the movie that, like, it was like his thumb or his finger broke off when she let him go into the water.
Are we sure it wasn't a piece of ice that just wasn't clear in 1997 HD? Wow.
It was a finger. Oh. It was basically this wax model that we have made of him has a faulty finger. Either that or a hyperthermia.
Yeah.
Hypothermia.
All right, yeah, Dr. Seuss.
At any rate,
just needs
I love
more
morbid topics like this, for the record, and we need to have like another community redeem that's called like Orange Lounge Morbidio.
We still have to make good on the Foodio redeem, and I keep meaning to schedule that, and then it's like, oh, I'm going to get a new computer and throw everything into, you know, but let's get through
we
the
Foodio. We could do the Memento Mori edition of Orange Lounge Radio, where we just talk about all things death, because we know what Memento Mori means.
I'm sorry, DJ
A Rama, reminder of death.
DJ Rama S in chat says, it's Morbin time. I'll see if my friend will come on the show that
That'd
week.
Be cool.
That might be fun. All right. Anyway.
It would actually be cool to have your friend on when I get my Dead by Daylight thing going. The in-character conversation.
You actually probably know him, but I'll text you so I'm not talking about people who aren't here. So
okay, but
anyway,
I like the science of death, but I hate the economy of it.
Yes, yes. All right. Let's move on. Bobby says two things Rob needs to text Jamie about now.
He texted me the other thing.
I already texted her one. See, we multitask here on this show, and there's three of us.
We sure do. And I mean, I'm on a Mac. I can just open my messages. I don't have to look at my phone. Y'all have no idea
have
what the fuck I'm doing. I could be reading fan fiction. I could be plotting, you know, the overthrow of the country because I could run it better. I mean... I'm not going to do any of those things. That's hypothetical.
I could do the work Zoom call. Oops. I could do the work Zoom call thing and have my phone here. Oop, just barely off the camera. I could do that. But
and hey, I work in my pajamas and I draw art while I work.
I'm not wearing pants right now. Or
I'm not
underwear.
Either.
No, I'm just kidding. I have jeans on. Everybody, I went out walking. Okay. All right.
I'm wearing shorts.
All right. It's fine.
Their pajama shorts.
Dress comfortably. All right, let's move on. We got to get move on with the show, and let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Soccer, I'm going to start with you. How was your gaming week?
It was eventful. Hold on, I'm telling Dark Tetsuya that it's our show, and we'll talk about what we want. There we go. So anyway,
I love how you had to say it on air and in chat as if there's a chance Dark Tetsuya doesn't have his audio on right now.
No, I have to reiterate because I'm feeling a little bit sassy, and we could talk about anything we want to. We can talk about corpses. We can talk about hemorrhoids. We can talk about colonoscopies. We could talk about like hemophilia. We could talk about anything medical or real life that we want to.
Okay, Loki.
And this is also the first time that I think I've mentioned a colonoscopy on the show. So, hey, there you go.
Loki, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about your colon, or do you want to talk about something else?
Wait, Loki talked about a colonoscopy before, right?
No.
No? Someone did.
No. That was like, you're thinking the kidney stone issues.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That goes up the other side.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I have gaming stuff. And
please.
A little bit of expansion on some gaming stuff.
We do sell this as a video game podcast, so it would be nice.
On. What the fuck is going on this week, right?
I also want to point out, if our 20th anniversary should get any media traction, which I doubt it will, but if it does, this is the show people are going to hear leading up to the 20th anniversary. So make it count, kids.
You know what? Reasons. Anyway, so... At any rate, I played Terranigma on Wednesday, and I got it to the point where I'm just about to beat the game.
Nice.
So I have stopped, and I've put up a poll for what my next game is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that Final Fantasy VI went out between Final Fantasy IV and Final Fantasy VI. I'm actually looking for a direct translation.
I would like my Japanese I voted game. Sticker because I voted for Final Fantasy IV in that poll.
At any rate, though, I mean, it's either of them are fantastic games.
Yeah, I love six.
I'm happy to be playing either. But I'm actually thinking the one after that to be Star Ocean.
Mm.
We had a lot of people interested in me playing Star Ocean. So, but going back, I've decided that since it is the 6th anniversary for Dead by Daylight and it's only a 2-week thing, or as I said, a 13-day thing, I'm basically, all of my streams are going to be Dead by Daylight until it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that I can make sure I've maximized my blood points and gotten all the goodies. And I had a really fun game last night on stream where I was playing Pig. Because I'm a pig main, and I don't care what anybody says. She's S tier god level. And I decided, and there's like one of those like rift quests to do where you have to find one of the invitation pillars. So basically in the game, you find these pillars that move around at random that have an invitation on them. And when you interact with it, it unlocks a masquerade mask for 12 different characters in the game. You know, all unique to those characters. And I had to do one of those, and they were really hard to find. Like, I only had 6 at that point.
Mm.
So I went on Pig, so, you know, relatively speedy character. I went on, and I actually had Dead Dog, which is, I think, the smallest map.
Mm.
Like, the smallest single level map. And basically, I just ran around ignoring the survivors. I mean, like, I hit a couple of people just, you know, because one of them was a Steve. And you always hit a Steve. And then I just started wandering around looking for the thing. And so they're like, oh, it's a pig player. Boop, boop. And I'm like, okay, get your boops. And then I would turn around and go back to looking for the pillar. Until they realized I was looking for the pillar. So they're like walking along with me, helping me look for the pillar. And someone came and got me and said, there it is. You know, and I was like, because, you know, they can point.
That's so funny.
And I looked over, there's like, oh my gosh, I almost walked right past it. And because since it moves, you have to be really quick on it. And I just like, but it's something that I love about Dead by Daylight, the people that play it. I mean, yeah, you can get like really bully, terrible people, you know, that are playing against you and people who don't want to meme with you or any of that. And then you find the people who seem to understand what you're trying to do and help you do it.
The nonverbal cue stuff is huge. And, you know, it ties into your classic game of the week last week or the week before was Journey from the PlayStation 3. And that was a huge part of that game. I would say Dead by Daylight actually kind of takes its cues from Journey in that regard, where you have like those, that like chirp button is the only way you could communicate with players. But in Dead by Daylight, it's either point or come here. And that's like all the only like two things you can do. So it's really interesting.
Or, well, butt dance.
Or, yeah, you can kind of nods, spins. Like, there are some other things you can do. But for the most part, you're limited to those nonverbal cues. And
people have less.
People get really creative with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the things that I've learned is that if you're going to help somebody out, you give them the nodders. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to meme around, you shake your head. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want someone to do an action, you attack the item. Like, if I want someone to drop a pallet on me, because I had that one where you have to be in chase and have a pallet dropped on you and, you know, break the pallet and then go after them. So I would go back and just hit the pallet and say, hey, hit this. Or if I wanted to let somebody go, I would, you know, or wanted someone to do gens or farm or something, I would hit the generator just with my normal weapon and then kick it and then, you know, go back and forth, you know, different things like that. Or if, you know, I wanted to, like last night I had a doctor game and I was giving somebody, and I was actually playing pretty mean, but I decided that I wanted this one Jill to live. And I don't know, just I had this feeling that I wanted this Jill to live and I wanted to, you know, hook the Bill because fuck Bill. You know how I feel about a Bill.
I do.
Oh, Billiam. Oh, Bill, he dies. Anyway, so at any rate, I don't think the Jill quite believed me. So I was like, I was doing the electric attack at the hatch because you can hear when that goes off. And I was like, it's right here. And finally, I just went after her. And gave her the super nodders and then headed in the direction of the thing. And she's like, oh, I get it. You're being nice. And she went down the hatch. So I love that. But then you get assholes.
Yeah, I know.
And the assholes have been out in force, like to the point where I'm just keeping a, because, you know, now those new, what is it? The build saver things are up. And I have a few that's permanently have Lightborn on it so that no one can flashlight me. And then I can laugh at them when I realize that they're doing the oh shit moment. I love that moment. And then, you know, go on about my game. And it's been pretty fun. And, you know, I'm not the only one that's noticed that on both sides because, you know, a lot of my survivor main friends are like, oh, these killers are being like extra sweaty and all of this. And I'm like, well, I mean, it is good for blood points. You know, if everyone brings like the flan, we no longer have cake this year. We have flan.
Flantastic.
It's flantastic. Yes. A flaniversary. But at any rate, it's been a really weird mix. And people are also playing weird. Have you noticed that?
A little bit. They're not farming like they did during the last event. It's weird. But anyway, not everyone plays Dead by Daylight. So, but can I say one quick thing, though? Because this about all games in general, not just Dead by Daylight, but you talked about it. You talked about the tier list and how you play Pig, even though she's not considered S tier. And I think you already know
she
this.
She is S tier. What are you saying?
To you, she's S tier. But and that's the point. That's actually the point, is that tier list for any game, Smash Brothers, whatever it is that you're into, tier lists are bullshit. I'm here to say tier lists are bullshit and they're clickbait and they're there to start an argument. That's all it is. I don't even care if it's based off statistics. That's right. I'm telling you, I don't care about math. I don't care about facts because video games are supposed to be fun. So the tier list, what?
The tier list can be super fun, especially if you make one on stream and you make it like completely ridiculous.
But if you know that it's ridiculous and not serious. And so when I say like, you know, oh, there's a definitive, you know, some Dead by Daylight streamer put out the definitive tier list of killers or whatever. Yeah, no.
Atsdarva puts out those lists and that's and not, then
how nice for
when
him.
When I started playing, I looked at the tier list that existed at that point that Ots made.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I kind of get, you know, reading over, you know, get these perks for these killers, play them in this order. It's a good idea. And then I realized after, you know, I started with Plague. I mean, you remember I started with as a Plague main. And then I was like, fuck this. Legion's more fun, even though Legion is considered, you know, at the time, not very great.
Yeah. It's all about what makes the game fun for you. And for me, I think she's like mid tier on the technical ones or whatever, but I love playing Sadako as the killer. Like she's a lot of fun to me. I really love
Dredge though.
Porting around the map. See, and I can't get into Dredge the same way I get into Sadako, even though they both have the teleportation mechanic, but Sadako has these add-ons that make it really fun. And like, I just really like playing her. So I don't.
It's fun. Don't get me wrong. I love Sadako. Yeah. On top of that, she's really short, and shorter killers are easier for me to not get motion sick with.
Yeah. And it's taste. So taste greater than tier list. Anyway.
I also do like freaking people out with Dredge, because if you get it just the right moment, scare the shit out of somebody.
You can get some good jump scares on him. Yeah.
Oh, and especially I use this add-on where every time he goes through a locker, he exits a locker, all the lockers bang their doors.
Oh, that's awful.
It's one of his eeries.
Oh, wow. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So back to my other games.
Yes.
So yeah, it was Terranigma. It was Dead by Daylight. It was Wordscapes. But another one I'm going to count, because I think that my decisions have helped other people play it, or my suggestions, is The Quarry. So many fucking people are playing The Quarry that I feel like I have played it too. Cause like I've gotten into it, and like,
it's kind of meant to be played like that though. Like it's a couch co-op game that works really well on Twitch in a way.
Except for, of course, all the QuickTime events. Cause the person playing it really does need to be on their game.
Yeah.
Like, especially the ones where you have to shoot things. Ugh. But anyway, the fun thing for me, I mean, and some of the people that I've stayed for like long playthroughs of have taken my suggestions. They liked my logic behind it. And so we've had a really, really good time. And I've really kind of gotten into the lore of it. Now I'm at the problem right now where I think it will run on Windows 11 ARM because it's an X64 game. But, I'm afraid that the cheat anti-cheat on it won't run. Like, I'm having that same problem with VHS and Dead by Daylight through Steam. So that's why I haven't bought it, but I've watched like playthroughs and everything. And the cast in this game is absolutely amazing. Like, I'm just going to say Ted Raimi's in it and leave it at that. Mic drop.
Grace Zabriskie, Laura Palmer's mom, is in it. And like, I told Shane, I'm like, if you led with that, I would have bought this game day one. Because he's been trying to get me to play it. Like,
Houston Sage is in it. She had the Dazzler cameo in X-Men Dark Phoenix.
The kid from Detective Pikachu, isn't it?
Yeah, he plays Ryan, the one that people either hate or love.
Yeah, yeah.
But also Lynn Shay is in it. She was the elderly woman in The Grudge at the beginning of the movie. And she was the psychic in the Insidious movies. David Arquette.
Mm-hmm. Dewey.
Yeah, and like Bobby said, that's the other thing I didn't mention, is that Halston Sage was also in Orville. But I mean, we've got some like really good... really, really good people in it. And I'm actually going to try to confirm something real quick, because Mark Silverman plays the Mark Silverman is the biggest person, the biggest voice mimic for Rod Serling.
Oh.
And when I was listening to the tutorial parts of it, I was like, holy shit, that totally sounds like Rod Serling. And I was like, I bet it's that guy who does his voice in all of the things, like for Tower of Terror. Mm. So it was him. It was absolutely him.
How funny.
And I absolutely love that. They've got like, and Brenda Song.
Oh yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, it's funny though, how many of these people were in, were Disney actors. And then went on to be in various scary movies. Like, we had the guy that played Dylan was in Halloween, the 2018 Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who played Nick is in Star Trek Picard. We have a lot of... and Lance Henriksen is in it. I mean...
Oh, wow.
Can you get much cooler?
But that's... I mean, it just goes to show like how well Until Dawn did, that the studio now has... I mean, you know, Until Dawn had... what's her name from Heroes... who plays Kirby in Scream, Hayden Pantinier. I don't know if I'm butchering
her last name.
About,
yeah.
But that was like the biggest name that was in that Until Dawn. And now they're getting a lot. I mean, just because either the budget got bigger or the game, you know, because y'all might remember or not, Until Dawn exceeded expectations big time because they really did not market that game. And I don't know if it's because of streaming or what, the strong word of mouth, but that game did very, very well, where it was all of a sudden like, whoa, there needs to be a franchise here. And so there was the Medal of Medan, but this is like the first true like follow-up that is very, very similar to Until Dawn.
The one thing is that all these articles that have Ted Raimi listed, they mention Evil Dead, they mention Spider-Man, but they forget his most important role. Joxer, hello.
Oh, right.
Right? So at any rate, though, there's another little bit of interesting trivia about this, and that is that the game was... Well, I don't know if it's a rumor or if it was based on different... The fact that Google had a partnership with Supermassive, the publisher, the developer. But apparently The Quarry was supposed to be on Stadia. And because of those developments that happened with the in-house production for different things, it fell through the cracks. It was also supposed to be the game High on Life was supposed to. Both of them were associated... They were associated by partnership, but never officially associated with Stadia. Supermassive was looking for a publishing partner when the project came to completion, but it ended up, you know, it didn't get released on it. Now, if it had been released on Stadia, I would have paid full fucking price for this, and any DLC or whatever would have happened.
Yeah,
this would have been mine. They've reached out for comment on it, but you know, no one's really said anything. And I mean, it's not like Stadia hasn't had some really big games. I mean, they got Resident Evil Village, you know,
right?
They have Elder Scrolls Online. They got Mortal Kombat 11. So I'm still getting some pretty big titles on there. It's far from dead, so I can be hopeful. Although, I'm going to go ahead and just say this now since I mentioned Capcom. A Resident Evil Village is coming to Mac in fall.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Apparently the new metal and the M2 chip when it comes out is more than capable of actually playing games better than a lot of modern graphics cards. Than a lot of modern PCs. So I might have to upgrade.
All right.
At any rate.
Well, that's it for your gaming week. Let's go over to Loki and talk about your gaming week, Loki.
It's been very busy with Minecraft still, but I just started Channel 64 Season 2, so we all kicked that off last night, or last afternoon, I guess, but it's been all day. So very excited to get started, you know, making content on there. And then this week's going to be busy with making content as well. I took the week off from work to...
Wow.
Focus on content stuff, so I'm gonna see what I can come up with. I've already done a lot, so I gotta go through a ton of footage. Early game is always very hard to like make content around, at least structure content, because it's kind of all over the place and you don't know what's gonna happen, so it takes a long time to edit, unfortunately. But I'm confident that I'll be able to put some stuff out, and I gotta do some more of my hardcore series as well. So yeah, lots of stuff coming out.
All right. Well, best of luck with that, those videos and all that. So looking forward to seeing the Minecraft content you put out. So, and I know things have been getting bigger for you over on YouTube a little bit. So
yeah, a little bit. We're like 460 now, I think.
Nice.
Almost 500.
That's great. Maybe you'll cross 500 in the next week or so, right around the time OLR hits 20. That's awesome.
Maybe. That'd be cool.
All right. Let's see. Moving on. My gaming week. So, honestly, most of my week was taken up with the computer transition and just trying to make sure everything would work for tonight and trying to get everything back up and running. I didn't move my drives over. I still have the old computer pretty much put together and I can pull files from it as needed. But for the most part, I just decided to kind of use this as like a fresh start. I didn't want to run the same Windows install or try to do that or anything. So I was just like, you know what, let's just start fresh and I'll copy over the stuff I need, and still have those drives, you know, available if I ever need to pull media off of them, like pictures or something like that. So, yeah, I've been spending most of my time setting that up. However, you know, of course, I had to bring up Final Fantasy 14 and see how that would run. And it's so smooth. It's like I'm not really playing at a better resolution or anything because it, you know, I was playing in 4K before, but I definitely noticed the frame rate improvement. And now I'm excited that when I stream, I can actually use the 4K and have it convert. Now, I can't stream it in 4K. Well, if Twitch allowed me to, I probably do have the computer powerful enough to stream in 4K. And I don't have limited bandwidth. So if I was a Twitch partner, I probably could stream it at 4K. However, I'm not. I could always do a YouTube maybe, but I'm not really in a hurry to do that. So but what I can do is play the game in the full window as opposed to having to size it down just so I can stream it and not have my computer stutter all over the place. So that'll be really nice. I'm looking forward to that for like streaming. So I played a little bit of that this week with Final Fantasy 14. Didn't really make any meaningful progress. My paladin is 85. Woohoo. And then I also played a little bit of Dead by Daylight, just a little, but I wanted to see how that would look on the new computer. But that one, I mean, Dead by Daylight is a 6-year-old game. We're literally in the 6-year anniversary event. So it's not like you have this massive 4K mode or anything, but it's nice enough. I definitely noticed again, it's the smoothness. It's a nice enough. And it is, I think, a tactical advantage too. I can see things in the background so much better now. And so I can be more aware of things. Like I can see killers from further away and stuff, or make them out better than I could before. So that part is kind of nice in the few games that I played, you know,
that's what it's like for me on Stadia.
Oh yeah. Cause Stadia is already doing the high graphics level processing. Yeah. So that's nice. Yeah. So, there were definitely, like, obviously the new Ninja Turtles game is very much on my radar. Like, I'm hearing a lot of positive feedback about that because that's very much geared at our generation that played that in the pizza parlor, the old Turtles beat 'em up game. And I see a lot of people going, I wish they'd do this for The Simpsons. And I think that's a great idea. And what else, am I correct? I believe the studio that made that Shredder's Revenge, I could be wrong, but I thought I heard it's the same studio that did the Dragon Trap remake a couple years ago. And that was an excellent retro remake. That was like really one of them done really well. Okay, Dark Tetsuya says it's them. Yeah, I can see why this one is getting such positive critiques and the fact that they nailed it. Because like that Dragon or Wonderboy, you know what I mean? That game was a very, very good reimagining or whatever you want to call it. Something else came out recently too that I wanted to play as well, but I just, you know, I'll have to do it in this next week. But I really, really am hoping I can stream more now because I can stream based off my PC and don't have to rely on the Xbox for everything that's not Final Fantasy. So, and the nice thing is the Turtles game, Tunic, and all these other games I've been wanting to play, they're on PC as well. So I can just go hog on Game Pass and stream it from the PCs. So that'll be nice. So SSG100 Matt says, I'm still running Windows 7 on one machine here. Well, can I point out, Matt, what a long way we've come from the studio that we were in pre-pandemic at my old house, where you might recall right before the pandemic happened and we took the show virtual. You might remember I was running a machine that still had Windows XP. I almost said Windows 95, right. But it was Windows XP was still running on that machine. So, and now how far we've come in that short amount of time, relatively, I've gone from an XP machine to 10 to now 11. Now I'm ahead of a lot of people. So yeah, tonight's show is on 11 now. So yeah, Tiger Claw says it's the new computer running on 11. Yes, it is. And the start menu changes are really taking me some getting used to. But otherwise it's fine. Otherwise, most of it hasn't changed from 10, at least as far as the user experience goes. And that's a good thing in my opinion. Like the taskbar stuff enough is a weird enough change is taking me some getting used to. But Jamie, I know you're an Apple device user and you would appreciate the insight that my husband made on this whole thing after the first time he used Windows 11. And he said, you know, every new version of Windows, they're just making it more and more like Mac OS.
I figured, shoot, they jelly.
I figured you'd appreciate that comment. All right. Dr. C says it's not like 8, is it? Oh no, it's nothing like 8. The reason why 8 flopped is that 8 was tried. They tried to bring the tablet experience to a desktop. Didn't work. So no, it's not like 8 at all. So, but 11 is fine. Tiger Claw says you can change it to look more like 10. Oh shit, maybe I need to do that. I don't hate the look of 11, but it's, I can, it's either or. So anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some more news. And we actually don't have a lot of headlines tonight, I have to be honest. We're about half the usual headlines, so it could end up being a shorter show, but we talked about morbid shit for an hour. So I don't know. What do you expect here at OLR? But we'll get into our first story. I should say, though, sorry, Loki, I should officially say 20, OLR next week, the 20th anniversary of Orange Lounge Radio. This show started June 23rd, 2002. It scrolls along the bottom. You've probably seen it. So we're celebrating 20 years on the air next week. I don't have confetti cannons. There is a cute little announcement. There is a fan project that's been worked on, and I'm going to tell you more about that next week. That's one little, so an announcement of an announcement. Yes, I just did that. So there will be a little something cute to look forward to. Otherwise, you know what? I'm just hoping we hear from some people we haven't heard from in a long time. That's always the fun about hitting a big anniversary show. I would love to hear from some people we haven't heard from a long time. Don't forget, we have an email bag. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com. Twitter.
I need to get some cake.
At OLR. I would love some cake. Are you going to bring me some cake?
You can come over and have cake.
All right. Now we can get into some news. So, Loki, why don't you start us off?
Got some great news. Activision has investigated themselves, and they found no evidence that they've ignored harassment. And you know what? I think I can trust them. Activision, the company that's totally trustworthy, to investigate themselves. Because if you were guilty, I mean, you would totally be honest about all the guilty things that you did. You wouldn't just, like, say, oh, we didn't do that. Oh, I didn't see all that evidence over there. So, case closed? I mean, I guess the gaming industry is great now. Harassment's dead. We've solved it. Activision's done it.
Oh.
No. So.
Oh, well. we were so close this time.
Mike Deft in chat says, I trust ABK with that investigation as much as I trust Riot with theirs. Facts. I mean, congratulations on your internal investigations showing nothing when your employees have told you there is something. What's the problem here? You've put together this whole, you know, show, theatrics, to try to prove your own employees wrong?
They're just proving how well they've ignored the problem. So they've ignored it so well that they can't see the problem anymore.
I hope, and I don't think it will. I mean, here's reality. Activision may have cleared itself of an internal investigation. Let us not forget how this whole thing started. State of California is doing its own investigation into what's going on. So there's still an external investigation pending, and that's the one that means something.
And don't they think that publishing results like this is really poor form?
Yeah, and I saw you just agree with this comment I was about to read too, which hello to VO by Kurt, good to see you, who says in chat, even if their investigations are real and whatnot, the optics alone are the worst PR. So short-sighted. Very that is that why have this whole press release and trout out this should have been an internal PowerPoint, and that's it. It should not be a talking point or a bragging point or a dismissing your employees' concerns point, which is what it's turning into. I think that chat comment is spot on, is that it's terrible optics, even if they think they're doing nothing wrong. So we'll see with the external investigation, because if the external investigation finds stuff, which it already has for this to be in the news in the first place, the fact that the internal investigation shows nothing is just going to show that the internal investigation was full of garbage. And now Activision gets to own that.
The only investigation that's going to matter is the external.
Exactly that. So, all right, let's move on and talk about, we talked earlier in the show about some announcements that came out of Square regarding Final Fantasy VII, but let's talk about the next story, which has to do with Capcom stuff. Capcom did their own press event this week, and sorry, I'm having problems on the technical end. For whatever reason, the bar doesn't want to advance. Okay, that's weird. Anyway, sorry, guys. talking about Capcom, they've had a little announcement of their own of a few things, including what Dark Sakura just addressed earlier, is that, you know, Resident Evil is kind of expanding, and we have Resident Evil Village is coming to Stadia. But we also got some new versions, if you will.
It's already on Stadia.
Is already launched on Stadia. But Resident Evil 2, 3, and 7 are getting, like, a minor update. They're not new. They're basically like free upgrades, if you will, to be next gen compatible for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, and, you know, PC and so forth. So that is a free next gen upgrade. Then that came out. There will be a gold edition expansion for Resident Evil Village. So they are detailing some of that DLC. It will also contain a third person mode. So you can play the game like the old school Resident Evils, if that's more your style. Or I know Dark Sakura's talked before about how first person can be very, you know, sick inducing. So
do we get the shirtless mods for Leon and Chris and all them?
Always on the internet, but never officially from Capcom. There will also be a story involving Rose. And all this comes out just in time for Halloween on October 28th of this year. So that's pretty cool. They also, for whatever reason, they confirmed it after the fact, but they did confirm that Dragon's Dogma 2 is a thing that's going to be happening. Although in the actual press event, they were like, we're celebrating the video, but whatever. They did confirm a Dragon's Dogma 2 is coming. That is a game that kind of has grown a lot of fans over the years, so folks will be very happy to hear that. And Monster Hunter Rise has its first, expansion. I think it's the first expansion. Sunbreak is coming, and there will be a demo for that that's coming out on June 14th. So lots of things going on in Capcom's world for them to have their own little video, which is also interesting considering there was no E3 this year, that Capcom kind of did this instead. Now, Capcom was the type of studio that would do their own press event in the past anyway, but it's just interesting how it kind of played out this way when all was said and done after all. So anyway, did anyone watch that and think anything about the Capcom announcements?
I watched some of it, but, like, I was kind of skimming through, like, a lot of it. I didn't notice the Dragon's Dogma thing. I didn't play the original. But, like, I was just trying to see if they had new information. And it's, a lot of it seemed like it was kind of the same stuff, maybe a little bit more expanded of what they already had shown during, like, the Xbox conference thing. Or even, not so much Xbox, but, like, during the Summer Games Fest stuff. So I was just, I don't know.
Dr. Tsuyu in chat says, I did like what I saw of Street Fighter 6. You know what? Me too. And I'm just getting that vibe. I'm just getting that vibe that Street Fighter is going to be like Star Trek, where like the even numbered ones are the good ones. Not to slander Street Fighter 3 too hard, but let's be real. It wasn't 4 and it wasn't 2.
Street Fighter 3 Third Impact was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. By the time they finally refined it, yeah, it was a lot better. But I don't know. It still didn't land with me the way 4 and 2 do. And then Street Fighter 5, like, honestly, is like a non-factor to me. I tried it. I played it. They gave it away at one point. I was just kind of not into it. But I'm interested in 6.
I was pissed off the Street Fighter 4 soundtrack was taken down out of Apple Music.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's weird.
Because it had like some of my favorite versions of the songs.
Well, you'll just have to turn to piracy. All right. Or importing or whatever from Japan, I suppose, would be the answer, I should say.
We'll see how much I care about it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to some more news. Dark Sakura with some unfortunate news.
Well, we have a big womp womp for Halo Infinite. 343 Industries had to issue an apology and a change in Halo Infinite for one of their cosmetics that they released. Now, today is Juneteenth, It's June 19th, which is the annual commemoration of the end of slavery in the United States. So for Halo Infinite, they released an emblem with, for some reason, it's not showing it, but you know, nice colors and everything. But it was the palette option was called Bonobo, which is a kind of ape. And whoever let that go, or whoever even named it that in the beginning, need to be fucking fired.
Mm-hmm.
Saying.
Mm-hmm.
But after it was pointed out, they updated the name to be Freedom, and the official statement, and this comes from Bonnie Ross, the founder and head, we were made aware of a palette option for our Juneteenth emblem that contained a term that was offensive and hurtful. The team immediately addressed this issue via an update. We are a studio and franchise that is committed to inclusivity, where everyone is welcome and supported to be their true selves. On behalf of 343, I apologize for making a celebrated moment a hurtful moment. That actually, I like how that was phrased.
I'm glad she took accountability. Like, the situation yes. sucks, but I think we all know Bobby Kotick would have phrased this a lot differently. And I appreciate that she at least, she didn't try to pass the buck. She didn't try to place blame. She said, I'm sorry. And we don't have enough CEOs to say that in this industry.
There's also a statement from their community manager, John Junisek, I think is mm-hmm. how it's pronounced. We strive to create diverse and inclusive gaming communities. While the original name refers to an internal tool set, it was not intended to be applied to this context, and we recognize the harm it may have caused.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought I had heard somewhere that that name was a reference to an internal tool set, but still, I mean, and I'm not excusing what happened, because you still have to wonder, how did it go through all these steps to actually being released without anyone catching that? A yikes.
It's not the first time, though, that we've seen unfinished items be published, or things get published early, or the wrong versions of things get published. You know, it happens. I mean, in the digital age, it can now be quickly and easily corrected.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that's a pretty big one. That's a pretty big one.
It's a yikes, to say the least. Yeah. But I guess if there's anything to be hopeful about, again, at least you can kind of look at, okay, when a shitty situation happens, how does a person react to that? Do they delete their Twitter account, India Farah? Do they do that? Or do they take accountability and ownership and, you know, and that whole thing? And at least she did that. So, again, not a cute situation, not good. But let's be hopeful that when she says it should never happen again, that there is a little bit of substance behind that, we hope.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, moving on, Loki.
All right.
Something the internet and the people of the gamers won't be accountable for is this, but we'll talk about this.
Well, people are not happy with Diablo Immortal, especially after seeing Diablo 4 and how great that looks. Basically, you know, bombing it on Metacritic as what they do. And so now it is the lowest rated user score, or has the lowest rated user score of all time. Because, you know, of their horrible monetization practices with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very pay to win. So not surprised is what happens.
But did you hear the follow up from yesterday or today? About not about Metacritic, but about how well Diablo Immortal's doing.
Yeah, that in the first 2 weeks they've made, was it
$24 million? They've made $24 million in 2 weeks.
Great. Yeah, and this is why the behavior's never going to change.
Great job holding that. Great job dragging this whole thing through the mud. Talk and doing these critics on scores. Here is a fucking wake up call. Those scores on Metacritic do not mean shit. You are wasting your fucking time writing them. That $24 million this game just earned, that's what matters. You fucked up. because, and you know what? Maybe I have to take accountability, because I did say I downloaded the game. I tried it out. I didn't give them any money, but you know, fine. I played into the 8 million figure, but I told you it's complicated for a lot of us, because I do know people that worked on that game and deserve to have success, even if their managers and higher ups don't. So it's tricky, but I'm just saying this whole Metacritic thing, and this is my point, it doesn't mean shit when this is happening. Like it's a wasted effort. Your Metacritics, your change.orgs will do nothing. You know what you know what you need to do? Stop watching the streamers that are spending $15,000 to tell you something you already know. And all of these other, and you got to wonder, where is this $24 million come from? How many streamers have we heard of that are dumping thousands of dollars into this game? I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money, but where do you think the streamers got that money to do that? From you. Watching them and doing your biddies and your subs.
They learned it from you.
You, in turn, enabled this $24 million. So if you are out there writing these Metacritic reviews and you're watching these streamers at the same time and giving them money so that they, in turn, can go pay it in Diablo Immortal, you are fucking up. Rob Roberts, your friend, here to tell it to you like it is. Sorry, it's not always cute. DJ Rama S in chat says, "Ah shit, Uncle Rob taking him to school." You know what? Sometimes you just have to break it down for a bitch. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, "I saw a video from James Stephanie Sterling on the Diablo Immortal fuckery. Apparently it costs somewhere in the $100,000 range to max your character." Yeah, there was a headline going around about that. And but here's, can I, in defense of the frontline workers who worked hard on Diablo Immortal, who maybe had nothing to do with this whole pay to win scheme, is that, do you have to have the best of the best equipment to enjoy the game? Because I've played, I mean, I haven't installed it on the new computer, so I haven't really touched it this week, but like I played a good 5-6 hours without dropping a dime on the game, and I relatively enjoyed myself. I heard once you get to the end game, you're really, really pressured to spend more money. I probably won't, actually. Like, if I've gone this long without, yeah, I'm probably not going to do it. I'm not going to, and especially, you know, hearing these stories about how much it takes, I'm not going to do it. Like, how hard is it to just not give it money? And before, I understand, there's this whole thing on social media about, it's enabling gambling addiction, and it's enabling all this. Okay, at some point, you have to take personal accountability for that type of shit. And if that is a trap for you, then you have to not walk in. That could be many games out there, not just Diablo Immortal. Many games are doing this exact same thing. So I sort of find that argument to be a little bit. But I just, there is a way to enjoy this game and play the game and not spend money. And DJ Ramez says, if you need to spend money to beef up your character to beat the game, is it really worth playing? I would say no. And that's the point where I would stop. Yeah. Bonds 006 says, I cannot wrap my head around paying and paying and paying to play a game or games in general. You know, I pay a monthly fee to play Final Fantasy 14 online. And I don't regret it whatsoever.
I pay money to dress up the survivors I don't play in Dead by Daylight.
So on one hand, you have to spend money on the stuff that makes you happy. I feel that what I'm paying is justified because I know what I'm getting. And that's a big difference from this Diablo Immortal situation. And even when Jamie's talking about playing dress up, she knows what she's getting. And these games, both Dead by Daylight and Final Fantasy, they continue to support with regular updates and so forth that I feel like I'm paying into. I think it's, you know, it's that whole thing. Yeah, DJ Ramez says, I'll pay to remove the ads from the game. Def says, I'll pay the Pokemon Unite Battle Pass. No one is here to tell you how you should spend your money. But if it costs, yeah, I mean, if the odds in Diablo are that shitty to get these items, you kind of have to just say no at some point. You really do. And Prince Brightstar in chat says, or the government just outright bans it. There are certain countries where people can't play it. And honestly, I think I'm surprised that Blizzard is not required to publish the odds. And I think it's just a matter of time before this game gets in front of the lawmakers that need to see it. And we're going to see that become a law, at least in some states. The government is slow, but it's going to happen. Mark my word, this game, Diablo Immortal, is going to cause states to pass laws where the odds have to be transparent. The government doesn't do a lot, but it'll do that.
All right.
SG100 Matt wants to point out, also keep in mind that some streamers are also paid by the devs with in-game currency to spend to make these loot box videos. The logic behind it is that if a streamer inspires a viewer to possibly buy into the game and its loot boxes, they see it as solid advertising. EA does this with Ultimate Team streamers.
Mm-hmm. It's all that influencer presence. Yep.
Because it's also, and this is important, it's also not unique to gaming. For example, I have a friend who is a drag influencer, and this person got sent a makeup kit from a makeup company to do an unboxing video on Instagram and show off all the makeup to their Instagram followers. It is the exact same thing, but with makeup. So your Diablo, like, huh?
I get game, like mobile game invites for betas.
So I just want you to remember, your Diablo Immortal $15,000 spending streams is just makeup. Remember. And hey, makeup's great. Like, you know what? Your makeup is great. And even I know there's been a lot. I think in 2022, we've come a long way with some of these stereotypes. But like, even for guys, like, you know what? A little foundation will cover up a lot of stuff. Nail polish, kind of cool. Like, a lot of rock stars use it. Like, it's not what it used to be. So anyway,
the era of the guy liner must return.
I know, right? I kind of miss Guyliner. Questbuster says, I had to dig to find the odds on drops in Diablo Immortal and found out about its version of a pity system. In comparison, a gacha like Genshin Impact literally provides the odds up front for their banners. Yep. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about a game instead that, isn't going to be a nickel and dime thing. At least I don't think it is. I'd be very depressed if it was. This is actually a game called Atari Mania. Atari Vault was a former collection. Atari Mania is a collection that was just announced. It's 150 micro games that are incorporating the 1970s and 80s classic Atari games. It's going to be coming out on Switch, PC via Steam, and the Atari VCS. Remember that? Finally, it has a game that, you know, but okay. But it's coming out on Steam and Switch, and let's be real, that's where most of you are going to check it out. And it's a way for them to celebrate Atari's 50th anniversary. Now, here's the thing, and I got to say, and actually, like, looking at the game a little bit, and let me see if I can pull this up, at least for the Twitch viewers here. Let me do a quick little presto change-o on my new setup here to show you what this looks like. I'm sorry, this is a great technical breakthrough. You got your boxes don't go gray anymore when I switch because you're on the Discord app. I'm sorry. I know none of you know what I'm talking about, but I just had a very exciting technical breakthrough on this side. Okay, anyway. But my point is, here we go on the other screen. This is what the Atari classics look like now in this game. So they've, even though we're talking, like, that was Yar's Revenge. Hold on, let me go back in the video there. That was very clearly that here, see that, even though it's a little faded, and sorry for the folks in the podcast feed, but we're looking at Yar's Revenge, but with very clearly some different and upgraded graphics. So it's not just that they're again repackaging all of their old shit and putting it out. They're actually reimagining a lot of these things. And that part is kind of interesting. I actually think like
NES Remix, but Atari.
Yeah, kind of. It's NES Remix meets WarioWare meets Atari, because these are micro games, they're saying.
See, that's how they should be doing that kind of stuff. That's the way to do it. That's like the Namco approach almost. To
that's
it,
why so. This actually kind of caught my attention, because I was like, wait a minute, this is different. And what is also kind of neat about this is that you have the mashup games. They also say it is a neo-retro art update to the classic Atari 2600 style, and you can do fully playable versions in the treasure trove of these remastered Atari classics that you unlock by completing cheeky challenges. That's how you know it's a British dev. It's cheeky challenges that you will complete to do this. So it caught my attention, because you know I love retro shit. My only thing about this is I'm like, this game, honestly, is like 15 years late. This game is 15 years late. This should have been like somebody is really late to the party. But all right, they finally figured out that something like this could be pretty, pretty big. So I wish them luck. I really, really do. So, let's see. Tiger Claw says, I remember that remake of Yar's Revenge that wasn't like the original. It was the game with the name Yar's Revenge slapped on it. That was just Atari selling their IP for a quick buck because they were otherwise financially insolvent. So that's all that was. They did it with Centipede, I think it's, or Millipede or one of them. Dark Tetsuya says, I did pick up the other Atari collection on Switch, but this sounds a lot more fun. Yeah, it's a little jazzed up, and it's a little, kind of revisiting those games. And if you think about it, those Atari 2600 games were kind of micro games. They were very repetitive. That's kind of the charm and the zen of them, in my opinion. But video games were very different when you only had what does 4K translate into? 4,092 characters to code with. Yeah, your games got a little repetitive because you only had so much space to actually code with. And they had to do some really clever things to make things fit in that much space. So, all right. Anyway, before we get to our next story, I see Dark Sakura commenting Loki on your video, and some of the characters there, like Deep Coat. And
it's hilarious that it's Deep Coat.
I didn't ask in the beginning of the show, like I usually do, because I was too distracted by having to run things tonight. What is the game playing behind you live on Twitch tonight?
It's Fashion Police Squad.
Oh.
Look, you got Captain Jack hanging out there.
That's funny. Okay.
It looks pretty awesome.
But, I want to check that out.
I would take it that Deep Coat is supposed to be a reference to Deep Throat.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that Fashion
Look
Police
at the history, people.
Looked funny. Fashion Police is the first person shooter, but you're literally the Fashion Police. So
it's like Doom, but you're basically running around and shooting people to make them more fashionable.
Yes.
You're shooting them with style.
Dark Sakura, one of us needs to play this on stream, or both of us. It looks like fun. All right.
We'll see.
All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, we can go to you.
Well, how about super cool games? Like, one of my favorite series is the Raiden series.
Mm-hmm.
And Limited Run Games, bless them, is doing physical releases, a combined physical release of Raiden 4 Cross Mikado Remix and Raiden 5 Director's Cut Duel. It's actually the dual pack is what they're all called together. But anyway, it is like two of the, I mean, honestly, to me, the pinnacle of the series was Raiden DX Deluxe, but still. But even so, I think it's really awesome that this is coming out. They are available separately in the Nintendo eShop. But if you like physical copies and want them both, the orders are up for the games as of June 21st, which is 2 days from today for us here on Sunday. So that'll be Tuesday. The price will be $49.99 US. It's a Raiden game. How could you go wrong? And also Raiden 5 Director's Cut had like a cheer attack in it that I thought was kind of interesting. Voice acting in the series. So some pretty neat stuff in there, but I mean, come on. You know the weapon everybody wants in the Raiden games? The electric thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is the coolest weapon that exists.
Did
I ever tell you about the time I beat Raiden on PlayStation while I was drunk on Everclear?
No.
Well, you remember also at my birthday party at Dave & Buster's when I was playing Lumines and got to like level 30 something.
Oh God.
Very drunk.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but if I'm like super inebriated like that, I will either completely bomb something or kick so much ass at it because I think I'm playing just like on instinct. Mm-hmm. And that night, after many shots of Everclear, I beat Raiden on PlayStation. I don't know how. It was magic.
Magical Everclear.
It certainly was.
Please drink responsibly.
I felt like it was magic. My liver might not have. And also, that was was it that night or the one in Ocean Springs? But anyway, it was like, I think that was one of the nights I learned that I can't get a hangover.
All right. Well, yeah. I thought you'd enjoy that story, Dark Sakura. It seems.
Oh yeah, I linked it to Dan right away because yeah. I mean, why wouldn't we have this? I mean, probably because we are. Oh, I need to take a tangent.
Okay, it's fine. We have room for that tonight. Yeah.
So Dan sold the Mustang.
Oh shit! I didn't know that. Oh wow. Okay.
Yes. He sold it to a friend. Keep it in the family. And he has started working on converting our garage to a game room.
I was like, you needed the room in the garage for more pinball machines that badly where he finally sold the Mustang.
Well, I want them out of the living room for sure. I mean, I'd like to actually be able to, you know, go back to doing my weightlifting in the living room.
But he's
already looking into sound tiles to lay out in it and in the shape of one of the Space Invaders.
Oh, and I love that.
And looking into like carpeting options. Like I saw some things on our Amazon view list because Dan and I share our Amazon account.
That's so you get to have a garage arcade. Loki gets to have a garage arcade with his DDR machine. My HOA.
And you get to have a garage.
Yeah, my HOA rules force us to park the cards in the garage. So. Womp. But that's you know what? I have my own office. And I said, what you don't see on cam, I'll show it. It's not going to look as good on stream, but I'm thinking about it. I have a big walk-in closet right to the side of where the machine is. And it would hold about four or five of those arcade one-ups very nicely. It's actually a full-on, like, you can walk in there and stuff. So
it's actually a little bit bigger than mine.
Yeah, I'm thinking about moving the cabinets in there, even though it might not make as good of a background for when I'm streaming and stuff. I think that would be fun. So
I'll tell you what one of my friends does with her walk-in closet, who's also a podcaster. Mm. She converted her closet completely to a studio.
Oh,
with sound tiles.
Oh yeah, because
lights.
It's
and things.
So noise dampening in there. Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it would be easy to do. I mean, you could even, you know, if you really got, you know, interested in it, you could paint like whatever backdrop chroma key green.
Yeah, because I was gonna say it that works well for a podcast only, but for doing the video stuff, it's not the most engaging background unless. But it sounds like your friend kind of did some workarounds to make it better. So
that's why you have like, you know, lights hanging from the door or, you know, neat little sign behind you.
Yeah,
anything is possible.
True.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to be your fashion expert, your interior decorator for decorating closet.
So you're going to play fashion police IRL.
No, I'm not going to be a police. I'm not going to like shoot people with style.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to be like, you could do better.
Okay.
Girl, if you're going to be in the closet, at least make sure the closet is pretty.
Some good advice here on Pride Month. All right. let's move on to our next story, Loki.
So Nintendo has now been striking down YouTube musicians who have been covering different tracks of Nintendo's properties. So one person that got a strike recently was Cinemax, who is a channel dedicated to music, and he was creating he was doing some covers of some Metroid Prime songs. And apparently that got their attention, which is weird because, like, I've seen a lot of other, like, you know, I mean, there's so many, like, Nintendo remixes. I'm surprised they haven't gone after, like, you know, some of these other remix sites and stuff. But apparently, you know, they're sending copyright claims. You know, they have the legal right to take the content down. And, you know, Cinemax acknowledges that the songs are owned and copyrighted by Nintendo. However, you know, doesn't really agree with their aggressive tactics for, like, kind of treating, like, the fans and people that make fan creations based off of some of their IP.
So this I found very interesting. So, and Bobby got into this on his show tonight, and he's in chat kind of reinforcing some of the same stuff he got into on his show. And I thought he made a damn good point about this whole story. Is he said that in the story, the person who got the copyright claim or whatever said they were called by Nintendo's lawyers to take him down. We have to stop and think about that statement for a minute. Since when have Nintendo's lawyers ever talked to people on the phone? And I can tell
never.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that because if it's legal, they have to have proof that it happened. And the way that there's you can't prove a phone conversation because recorded conversations are not admissible evidence. Proof is a registered or certified letter that is in writing that you mail to the person or the company or whoever the offending is. That's why it's a cease and desist letter that you always hear. That's why it's the term. It's never a cease and desist phone call. So Loki, I'm
and also with it being in writing from attorney also makes it privileged information.
Yeah. Sorry. I had a little spill here. So Loki, I'm not trying to step on your toes or anything, but I'm pointing out something that interesting that's happening here with the internet wildfire of this story that's going on. And I get everybody likes to dunk on Nintendo's copyright thing, and they've earned this that people are able to jump to this conclusion. But something doesn't add up, and I'm not, you know, again, I'm not saying that this person is necessarily lying, because somebody else who had a beef with this person could have called posing to be Nintendo's lawyers and doing this whole thing. So I'm not saying this person is necessarily a bad actor at face value. I wouldn't want to say that because then his lawyers could send me a letter accusing me of something. But I'm just saying lawyers don't call people. Something doesn't add up here.
It is a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
The only remote thing that I could even think of to give it some feasibility is if the guy actually had like a buddy that worked at Nintendo and someone gave him a warning that's like the only thing I could remotely think.
I can see. Yeah. I don't know if. But and like maybe somebody's doing the phone call as a favor, and that whole thing where it's like it gets translated into I was told to stop. No, a friend told you should stop or else the lawyer's going to get involved. But you took that to hear I got told to stop by the lawyer. That and we can all think of a case in our lives, whether it happened to us or somebody else, where that game of telephone absolutely played out.
It is really weird, though, because, like, there's so many, I mean, unless they were really close to, like, the original pieces of music, I mean, there's so many Nintendo music channels out there that are just, like, remixes, and, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, also, this cover artist only has about 7,000 subs, not a big fish in the cover music pond, so this is great free media attention. So, yeah, and again, Loki, I'm not, you know, you're just bringing, again, this is a show about video games and video game culture, and this story is everywhere right now, but that's why I'm saying, hold up, tap the brake, because we do have a tendency sometimes to copy paste these stories, these headlines and things to share on social media without stopping to look and say, does the math add up? Because there's a question mark here. And again, it might not be this, you know, it might not be the individual. The cover artist is probably could for all we know completely be and accounting the truth as they see it. But as SSJ100 Matt says in chat, and this is it, nail meathead, if people can swat someone, they can fake a Nintendo lawyer call.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
So. Anyway, just something to think about. Let's see. Mike Defton chat says not to make them less. Yeah, I mean, like, and I will sit here and say this guy has more subs than our podcast does. So kudos to him on that. There are way bigger remix channels and haven't got struck down or something. Yeah, it's a little weird. Like, why would you go after the little guy? Unless your video game covers were laced with disparaging comments about Nintendo or something, or false accusation. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying that might be a way that your smaller channel would get more attention, but I don't think that's the case here. So you know what I just said? Since we're a small podcast, we can say anything we want.
I know.
Just kidding.
So much freedom.
Although the one time we did say something that somebody didn't like, somebody did get a phone call, actually, now that I think about it, but we won't go there. This is a time of celebration. All right.
Oh, you.
Moving on. Let's go to our next story. This is one that I thought was pretty cool because this is like a one from the vaults type of story. This is about an unreleased NES prototype that has come to light. It is the game The Fairyland Story. It was originally in arcades in 1985, and now we have found that this was being ported at one point to the NES by Hard 4 Games and Forest of Illusion, I think are the ones that actually found this game. But it was going to be released in 86, 87. It had a brief mention in a Japanese magazine. It didn't happen. There were some differences from the arcade game, such as there's only 50 levels in the game instead of 101, and the 50 loop over and over. But what's kind of neat is that this old ROM has been rediscovered. So you can check that out. Also, it should be pointed out, there is this NES original, but if you want to support the real thing, it's also on Arcade Archives. Because you know how Nintendo has that whole arcade. I've seen PlayStation 4 and 5 have it too, is the Arcade Archives. So if you actually want to play the original arcade version. But if you want to play the unreleased version, that ROM is out there on the internet. It's not hard to find because this story is everywhere right now. But I'll give you a hint. ForestDelusion.com is the site that has it. So I think it's kind of neat. It's always neat to see games that, like, we weren't supposed to see. So it's a little piece of gaming history.
I might have already gotten the ROM right after it came out.
Did you play it yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I've been playing through a bunch of other stuff, so it's back there. I have a few other prototypes actually that I need to take a look at. Hold on, I'm actually gonna pull up the list of the ones I need to play. But I've got Bioforce Ape.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Fairyland. I have Fighting Golf. I have another one called Hattori. So I also have a prototype of Ren Saber.
Hmm.
Star Soldier prototype for the NES.
Random stuff. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Just really, really random. So.
All right. Well, since we brought up classic games, I think it's a great segue into our next segment.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
But once a month, Dark Sakura says, you know what? I'm going to mix it up and pick a classic electronic handheld. So what is the classic handheld of the month?
We have a digital monster. Basically, when Bandai released the Tamagotchi, they also released a, you know, because the Tamagotchi was really marketed more for like girls. So in true gendered, tradition, they released one for the boys called the Digital Monster or Digimon. It was, you know, it's another type of virtual pet, but this one could be a fighting pet. So you would, you know, raise your pet and then you had these little little connectors at the bottom where your Digimon could battle, or more like at the top. But going back to it, let's just start with a little bit of history on it. So it was released by Bandai on June 26, 1997 in Japan and December 5th, 1997 in North America. The original digital monster model sold 14 million units worldwide, including 13 million in Japan and 1 million overseas by March 2004. By 2005, there were more than 24 million Digital Monster units sold worldwide. In 2017, they did a 20th anniversary edition that was released in Japan that let the owner choose any of the eggs from the first five versions of the toy, and then some new unlocked ones through various different methods, and that came out worldwide in 2019, which was the anniversary outside of Japan. So we're going to go ahead and start with just the basics with this. I mean, you can see in the video for those who are watching, you know, feeding the little squishy whatever mon. But you can check the pet's status, age, weight, strength, hunger, energy, or feed the Digimon to make him full, increase its strength, increase its energy. You know, train the Digimon so that it loses weight and increases strength. You have your battle mode where you link the two together through these little readers on the top. And then they can have a battle. You can also clean up their poo. If you don't clean up their poo, the Digimon becomes sick. You can toggle the light. Right here in the video is what the little connectors look like. You can turn the light on and off in this little virtual house so that the Digimon can sleep. If you leave the light on while they're sleeping, then their condition decreases and you would not have a chance of a high-powered evolution. And then there's healing your Digimon. If your Digimon gets sick or injured in battle, you would have to heal them before they can battle again. So the original Digimon device had three buttons and a reset button, all on the right-hand side of the screen. There was A to go through your icons and options. The middle B would activate the function, and C cancels whatever is on the screen. And pressing A and C simultaneously toggles the sound, which, you know, mutes or unmutes, and the reset button is that little tiny hole that was by between the B and C button, and you would have to use like a pin or a pen to do the reset. The metal contacts is where they would touch to be able to communicate. Well, that wasn't all for Digimon. So we got, in 1998, the Pendulum series came out that introduced the Jogress function. So you could combine your Digimon. The Pendulum would count the number of times the device has been shaken. And then there was the Pendulum Progress series. After that, the Pendulum X series that was accompanied by Digimon Chronicle for it was a story that came out. There was Digimon Mini. There was a WonderSwan that had the original Digimon as a game. There's the 20th anniversary one, Digimon Pendulum 20th anniversary, Digimon X, which was the original one that had the 20th anniversary features and the Pendulum X series. There's Digimon Pendulum Z. All kinds of stuff. I mean, well, and then let's not forget what spawned from this little, you know, brick looking thing. We had Digimon anime that, and you know how I feel about the Digimon anime. I think that the first two series are super superior to basically any other thing. And then Digimon Try makes my heart happy and a little bit sad in some ways. There's also a manga called Come On Digimon. There were just all kinds of stuff in it. And then I also had like the D3, which were the, actually I had a Digivice and Dan gave it to Julie. And I kept saying, don't give it to her. It's mine. You cannot give something that is mine to somebody else. And I still want it back to this day. But no one knows where anything is at Julie's house. And then I had the D3, and I had the black D3 with the little laptop thingy that they had, because I, like I said, I was super into Digimon Zero 2, and I actually ended up giving them to a friend who was a really big fan, only to realize that the D3, the black D3 was the short pack. So, oh well. So, yeah, I mean, there has been like 9 Digimon series and a bunch of films and a bunch of games and a bunch of manga. And there was a manhwa in China. There's a Dark Horse Comics. There's a Italian one or called done by a group called Panini. There's a card game too. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of merchandising, and it all came from this little brick. This little brick wall looking thing. And I had the blue one. I would always somehow or another evolve a Devimon without fail. I don't know how, but I always had a Devimon. So, and there we go. It's the digital monster.
A quick comment from our chat, where S. Joe and Hunter Matt says, "Oh God, I remember confiscating these from kids when I was summer camp counselor, and of course returning them at the end of the day. We did this because they would always lose it, and then we'd have to hear about it or run around hunting them down. Those kids were 5 at the time. Now those kids are going to be 28 to 29 now. BRB, going to find a corner to rock and cry in the fetal position for a bit." Glad you could feel the same thing we feel a lot here on this program. These things are also very well known for getting taken away from kids at school quite often.
We were all like in our early 20s and we all had our Digimon and our Pocket Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my Puyolin because I was cooler than everybody. What's a Puyolin? Puyo Puyo is the best. Shut up.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I had it like a Tamagotchi in like college.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember it was just like we would always bust them out and see who would win. And we were like different. And everyone like else like had their Tamagotchi and we had our Digimon. And we're like, we're edgier. We're cooler. we're so fucking edgy.
All right, let's travel around and check out some edgy headlines. No, literally, they're on the edge of tonight's show roll. Just a few quick headlines.
You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Some rapid fire news. Loki, why don't you start us off?
I'll leave it up to modders to put in characters in the games that they wanted but never got. So we have Chrono from Chrono Trigger being added to Smash Brothers Ultimate. I'm not sure who this character actually replaces, but it even gives Kirby a custom outfit as well, which is kind of funny. Chrono is an alternate costume for Hero from Dragon Quest.
Ah, that makes sense.
Neat.
Character model looks really good.
Yeah, it does. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with modding communities. This is amazing.
And then we have the Nintendo 64 version of Pokemon Snap coming to Nintendo Switch Online on June 24th as part of the online expansion pack. I ain't paying for it still.
I know. I was like, honestly, this is the most compelling case yet for me to maybe sign up for that pack. You know, I still don't have it after all this time. Never got the expansion pack. Maybe I'll break one of these days. We'll see, but not yet. All right. Let's go to Dark Soccer. I think you have one quick story.
Treasure is one of my favorite companies. They have given me so many wonderful games, including one of my husband's favorite games, Gunstar Heroes, and Silhouette Mirage, and Doki Doki Mischief Makers, Wario World, Sin and Punishment. But there was a tweet put out by Treasure's Twitter that said that they are working on a highly requested title in a tweet that was celebrating their 30th anniversary. It roughly translates to, on June 19th, 2022, Treasure Inc. celebrates its 30th anniversary. In this 30th anniversary year, we are working hard to release, quote, that, unquote, title that has been requested by many of you. We look forward to your continued support of Treasure.
Hmm.
We don't know what it'll be. I think that the byline on this one is, please be Sin and Punishment 3.
It'll be that game. They just, it's that. It's a game called that.
I would like another Silhouette Mirage.
We'll see. We'll see.
They did a Gunstar Heroes follow-up.
Yeah. So I wonder if it'll be a Sin and Punishment 3. I bet a lot of people would be very happy to see that. So
yeah, I'm sure of it.
Well, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games you'll be playing a lot sooner than you will Sin and Punishment 3.
I don't imagine there's going to be a lot of games this week, but we've got, looks like, Fall Guys getting a release on PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, and Nintendo Switch. Shadowrun Trilogy is going to be out on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. We've got Wreckfest coming to Nintendo Switch. And then, let's see, Sonic Origins on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. AI, the Sonium Files Nirvana Initiative on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Capcom Fighting Collection on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And last but not least, Fire Emblem Three Hopes on Nintendo Switch.
Going over to Japan, yeah, it's a fairly busy week there, and some of the same tentpole games that Loki said for the U.S. are also hitting Japan the same week. That includes Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes on the Switch. Also on the Switch, we have the Capcom Fighting Collection making its way there as well. We also have that AI Somnium Files Nirvana Initiative that Loki referenced. We also have a game called 9-9, so it's the number 9, and then it's the word 9 spelled out. That is also coming out in Japan, and it looks like it's like another like dating sim type of thing, so we'll leave it at that.
A visual novel though.
Yeah, visual novel type of thing. Ayoku no Estuya, Angel's Blessing in a regular limited edition. Mike no Lupercalia in a regular limited edition, also hitting the Switch this week. And Code Realize Future Blessings, also making its way out to Japan this week. All of that on the Switch. On the PlayStation 5 this week, nothing. But the PlayStation 4 sees many of those same releases we already outlined on the Switch. I don't really see a whole lot of differences or anything unique. It's pretty much a lot of the same games I already said for the Switch. So we'll go over to Japan, Dark Sakura.
We're going to Europe.
I'm sorry. We're going to leave Japan and go to Europe.
On the 21st for PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, we have Zoro the Chronicles. Also on the 21st for Switch, we have Wreckfest. On the 23rd for PlayStation, we have Autobahn Police Simulator 3. And on the 24th for Switch, we have Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes. And that's it.
All right. Got a few titles there that are coming out worldwide. All right. Well, that was all we had for headlines tonight. So we get to go
and
to...
we have an empty mailbox.
We have an empty mailbox. That's a shame. I just want to point... I don't want to guilt you all or anything, but I do want to point out, next week is our 20th anniversary.
And Rob wants to make me work.
I'd love to hear you. I'm willing to share the responsibilities if we were to actually get flooded with emails, especially some of you we haven't heard from in a very long time or ever. Consider this your cordial invitation to email us, participate at orangelaundry.com. Are you lazy? Fine. Write a tweet at OLR. I don't always read the tweets, but I'll read them next week.
Dio?
What's that?
Voice to text.
Yeah.
Use dictation.
Yeah. Does any of that? I would just love to hear, since it is the 20-year anniversary, just tell us, like, what? Why do you listen? Like, what can we do more of? What do you like? What do you not like? You know what? It's a birthday show. Don't tell us what you don't like. Tell us what you like. the next week, tell us what you don't like. Tell us how you started listening to us and what's kept you here. I would love to hear from you. So, yeah, send us those emails, tweets, whatever. Sure, TikTok, says Bobby Blackwolf. Why not? Why not? But in the meantime, we do have our green room. We have live phone calls available, and we do have somebody who wants to call in tonight. So I think we should get to that person. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's the one and only Ranma. How is everybody doing tonight?
I am doing great, and it's great to hear from you, Ranma. How are you?
Good, good, good. There we go. I'm enjoying myself, having an extended weekend, you know?
How did we lose Loki?
Well, and happy Juneteenth.
Now on this. Well,
thank you.
All right. Now, so while I fix the camera, to what do we owe this lovely phone call tonight?
A couple of things. Number one, Final Fantasy VII. I just want to say, as I played through the game, I noticed some differences. I'm just like, okay, let's see where this goes. When I finished the first game, I was talking to one of my besties, Chibi Tifa. We basically said, by the time you finish the first game, if you don't realize this is not the original FF7 you're playing, you need to go back to the drawing board. We were watching people on Twitter lose their proverbial shit over this because they're getting angry and upset at how much this deviates from the original. Yeah. As somebody who has played through the original game,
I'm all for it. I don't know how you could miss that it deviates from the original. Again, I'm not trying to spoil every detail. They kill someone who wasn't killed in the original as a way to explain that this is different.
Rob, it's been 25 years. Spoil away. I'm sorry. Like y'all said earlier.
No, in the remake. The remake's two years old, so yeah.
Okay, the remake's out been 2 years. It's dirt cheap now. It's been on PlayStation Plus. I'm sorry. There's no NDA on spoiling it at this point.
Yes, I know. But I'm going to leave it at that. I made my point. I'll leave it at that.
And people are quite upset about this. I get it. And I understand it. I'm like this. Here's a chance to retell the entire series, you know? I mean, hell, if you have the official strategy guide, it has everything listed out for eras, like weapons and all of that. And you mean to tell me in the original game, the only way I could play her after she dies is to use a Game Shark? Come on.
Well, you know, it's for plot purposes. Well, what do you think about the whole renaming of the game too? Because a lot of people were expecting it would be called Remake Part 2, but now we know that the game is called Rebirth. What did you think when you heard the title?
I was legitimately curious because I could not put my finger on it as to why it's Rebirth. But you nailed it. You nailed it. That makes the most amount of sense. Because part one, yes, it's a remake. They're going back to the board. They're remaking certain things. They're fleshing certain stories out, certain tropes, characters. By the time you finish the first game, you automatically know it's going somewhere else. So that Rebirth, all right, we're going to go back to the drawing board one more time. We're going to do things way different. And we're going to go in a different direction.
I'm going to place money on the third part being called Resurrected or Resurrection. Some form of that.
I'm going to say this. There is the particular character that dies. Now, we all know, originally, she was killed.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the new trilogy, if she does die, it's her choice. She understands everything that's going on.
Yes.
And she will. It's her choice to do it.
Yes. Yes. I think that will be a very big element that couldn't be explored in the original. That is, I think you're spot on with that. And you can say it's Aerith because, again, for the 25-year-old game, I don't care about the spoiler. For the 2-year-old game, I'll try to watch my mouth, and that's all you get. So, but I'm not going to, if it falls out, if I say, oops. As far as that goes, I think you're absolutely right. I think if she does die, she wanted to, or she felt a need that she had to, which was kind of that way in the original. She felt she had to, but, I think it's going to be a lot more explicit in a way that it wasn't before. Ooh, Bobby Blackwolf suggests Resolution as the third game title. Oh, I like that.
That could work. Yeah.
Revengeance says no. Mike Deft.
Revengeance.
Revolution, like Dance Dance Revolution, but people would get the wrong people wouldn't get that reference, so never mind. I'm trying to think what other RE. Questbuster says Restoration. Okay. Restoration. Like restoring the original timeline. We'll see. I don't know.
I'll say this much. At least I have time to get a PlayStation 5, you know?
Yeah, right. That's where I'm at. Final Fantasy 16 and 7 Rebirth are in 2023. Then I have until 2023. And it seems very obvious. 16 is loading up the first half of the year. Rebirth is bringing up the rear. Look, so if they even make it, I don't think it'll make it.
I'm still a little salty that, you know, they didn't announce it for Xbox Series X, even though both consoles are basically the same. I would assume is exclusivity. I'm not really upset by it because I said from jump, I'm going to get both consoles. And right now, There's only two games on PS5 that I want, and one of them is on PS4 now. I'm not even too worried about it.
I'll get both consoles as well. Love my Series X, but yeah, there's just going to be stuff I need to get a PS5 for. The only reason I'm holding out now is I'm just holding out to see if they do a hardware refresh. That's it. Because I know otherwise the minute I buy one, the PS5 Mini or the PS5 Pro or the PS5B, whatever is going to come out.
I'm seeing now we're at the point where when they announce PlayStation 5s are available, you don't have to rush the websites to get it. I've seen them sitting online for up to a day before they're sold out. So I'm like, at least I have a fighting chance. At least now I can be like, do I really want one?
Yeah, it's starting.
The website sold out. I'll wait for the next one. You know?
You know what else is partially to thank?
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin eating shit. Now the Bitcoin and let's be clear, Rama. No, before we toast, let's be clear. All cryptocurrency eating massive shit.
Okay. I wanted to talk about Shredder's Revenge, but that can wait. I've only told two people this. I'm going to tell y'all this because y'all are awesome and y'all not going to judge me. And I still don't care. Mm-hmm. I just want you to know from September of last year to, I would say, January of this year, I have lost about $7,500 in crypto. But here's the thing. I'm not upset by it. I'm not really worried by it. I've been investing in crypto for like 3-4 years, total of like $3,000. It was a long-term investment. It was just something where after everything is said and done, I'm retiring, cash it out. That's all that was. And I'm looking at my account, I'm just like, I got my 401k, I got this, I ain't worried about it. It's just a long-term thing for me. If you want to judge me, go right ahead.
I'm not going to judge you.
Foolishly dumped everything in it.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge you because I got on the hype wagon for like maybe for my Reno budget in 2021, $150. That's it. You know what?
I put in like $5 and cashed it out at $10.
Good job. You're the only one that made money.
I did Ethereum.
That's what I did too.
So. At least you have a good attitude about it, Rama. So here's to fucking up.
And I started noticing going down, like, you know what? I'm going to stop investing. I'm going to leave it right here. I'm just going to let whatever's in there roll over, and it's slowly making its way back up.
Yeah.
If it hits the original amount by the end of the year, good. If it does not, is what it is. I can still pay my bills. I can still live my life. I'm not knocking on relatives' door begging for money because I dropped my entire paycheck into crypto. You know, it's kind of funny. It's like I'm anti NFT, but I'm okay with crypto because I kind of know you're gonna get something out of crypto.
Here's the
NFT
thing.
Is like a photocopy of a receipt.
And Matt in chat has this and says, main thing is you're not a crypto bro that is calling us sheep and that we're wrong. Yes, that's exactly. The clear difference. You're a big boy. You made a big boy decision. Okay. A big boy consequence happened. And you're just going to have a big boy attitude and say, well, I knew the risk. Oops.
I'm like, I lost. It is what it is. I'm not crying. You know, it's like, it's just like playing the stock market half the time. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Always remember, and Questbuster says, always remember it could have been much, much worse. Never invest or bet more than you can stomach to lose. Very good advice. Very good, especially true with Diablo Immortal and other gacha games out there. I also don't understand why Metacritic shreds the shit out of Diablo Immortal. Well, I do, but listen to my full statement here. I don't understand why Metacritic shreds the shit out of that game and not plenty of other games out there that are just as guilty.
I think because of the name that's attached. Yeah,
of course it is. Of course it is. Do you think
high expectations?
Do you know what a fuck fest that Nino? I don't know how else to describe. Do you know what a fuck fest that Nino Kuni game is that just came out? Like that game.
Don't get me started.
Mess.
Do not get me started.
That game, it's mess. She's messy, Your Honor. You have been found guilty of public mess. You have been a mess.
Rob, the last mobile game.
Mario Kondo can't even fix you, Ni No Kuni.
Look, the last game I actually devoted my time away into playing with Sailor Moon Drops until they shut the servers down. I went up to play little other.
You got my fucking game. Husband Sailor into that game too, damn you.
Hey, you know it's a damn good game. Come on now. Someone's trying to bring it back, but good luck to them. But when I heard about Ni No Kuni, I was like, yo, I am all up in this. I'm going to jump into this. I heard something about NFT. Nope. I'm out.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? If you are one of those people that has spent thousands of dollars on Diablo Immortal and you're really mad at us for the earlier conversation, let me give you this. At least you haven't spent any time playing Ni No Kuni.
Well, I won't say
you can sleep okay tonight.
I could definitely sleep okay, but I will say this. You know, there are people who will just blindly spend that type of money on gotchas left and right. I have seen the worst end of that, and it ain't pretty.
Questbuster in chat says, Ni No Kuni Mobile is so bad that players are complaining of half an hour queue times because bots are hogging up all the spots to farm crypto in the game. There's even an in-game event slated in the future that requires you to link a crypto wallet, and people aren't happy.
See, that kind of reminds me of when people start playing WoW years ago and the whole gold farming and all of that. I'm just like, well, you know, hey.
Anyway. Oh, you want to talk about Shredder's Revenge? Can we have a nice palate cleanser, please?
Absolutely. So when are we having VOD game night to play some Shredder's Revenge, man? I am absolutely loving this game. You can't see it, but I actually took out my fighting game joystick just to play this game. I felt like 12 fucking years old in the laundromat playing as Donatello going through this game. I don't know about you, but I will say the main thing.
I won't play that game with you, Rama.
Why?
Because I also play Donatello, so fuck you.
Hold up. You my boy. I will gladly switch to Leonardo for you.
That was so good. I'm sorry. That was so good, wasn't it?
You my hoe, Rob. So I fucking love you. Love all of y'all.
I also am happy to play Leonardo,
I have to step away for a second because there's a spider. I'll be right back.
Cute. Be nice to it.
Is the house going to burn down? Are you going to be okay?
It could.
Just escort it out of the house and thank it for its work in eating other bugs in your house.
Don't know.
But you know, if Loki's connection
while
goes
Raphael's
down.
My favorite turtle, my favorite to play is Donatello.
Yeah. It was don't because know. the staff had the range and like I didn't like playing Raphael because the Psy didn't have the range at all. But I imagine, you know, some people that would play him were really good as him. So it's just, you know, you sacrifice distance for speed. Yeah. Yeah. I think speed too. So,
but
he was always the badass one.
There is one thing about the game, and that they did, and I absolutely lost my shit over. It's the font. The main font in the game is the original font from the from both arcade games. For me, that's like an ultimate Easter egg because that's like, you to me personally, you know, it's a Turtles game when it's that particular font for like. Well, you're putting in your name in the rankings and the credits and stuff like that.
I'm sure if she wanted to, Dark Sakura could give us a whole seminar on how typography invokes emotion. And that's kind of the point. I see you're smiling over there.
That's why I didn't say anything, because I've said it enough that you know that I'm thinking the typography thoughts in my head.
Exactly. So, even... art invokes emotion, mm-hmm. and even something as silly as a font will probably make you think of certain things. Like, I don't want to, like, talk us up too much, but you will notice the font that we use here at VOG Network on the site. It's a font you see a lot of places. And sometimes you might see it and go, oh, that's like the VOG writing. But it's a font. It's a font you can see it around.
I can tell
places.
Everyone what it is if you want to know.
Yeah. It's, well,
it's Euro style.
Yeah. So.
Anyway. I thought that it looked very futuristic, and honestly, it was easy to modify it into a power button, and it looked really good.
Yeah, your modified version that's like the VOG logo is great. It's totally what a logo should be, so yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
However, I will go on record and say that I like writing letters in Futura and leave it at that.
Dark Tetsuya says, surprised y'all aren't using Serpentine Bold. I get that reference, and I almost wanted to use it for the top font here, but it's just a little too... I didn't love the way it looked, which I actually, since I did move everything over from the old computer... Okay, so I'm on Futura Bold. So since you brought it up, that's what it looks like. I don't love it because it's a little too thick for me. You're not going to hear me say that very often.
She's got, honestly enough,
but
it actually is pretty balanced.
Interesting. It's a little like for the top part, I think so. But for the bottom half, like, I feel like it kind of takes away from where the eyes ought to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. That's my only issue with it. So anyway.
See, it kind of reminds me of the font that we use for Anime Jam Session, because let's be real, everybody hates Comic Sans.
Mm-hmm.
So I stumbled across the comic New Way, and I'm like, oh, this is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you one thing about Comic Sans, though, that I learned, is that it's easier for dyslexic people to read it.
Interesting.
But there's also much better dyslexic-centered fonts now.
Rama, I will take you up on that Turtles game night very soon. Stay tuned for details. As soon as I get everything settled here, which should be soon, we'll have a go at it. Anything else on your mind tonight you want to talk to us about?
They are brand new Digivices out that look like smartwatches. It's called the Digivice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. There's a couple of people on my Facebook that are kind of wanting them, so.
Awesome. All right, my friend. Well, I will let you go. Take care. Anime Jam Session. Listen to it. Love it. It wasn't anime, but we had a big convention here in SAC this weekend called Sinister Creature Con, which is like horror movies and FX. And mm-hmm. I would love to call into your show to talk about it, because it's close enough. If they got cosplay, they got all that same stuff, right?
Actually, no, that would be in our wheelbarrow, because we did cover a couple of steampunk conventions years ago.
Okay.
You know, when it's popular, and you know, one of my friends, she does a lot of those types of conventions anyway.
One small problem, mm-hmm. I didn't go, and the reason why is that I just had conflicts with timing this weekend. I hosted the after party that they did. We actually had Voltaire. Big nerd musician that's done music. Yep. He's like a Dragon Con staple. And it's so, because I'm like, I even said to him, I said, it's so nice to see you like outside Dragon Con. And he had a laugh.
I totally get that, because in September, I'm going to a convention called Retro Cons. It's all like 80s and 90s cartoons and toys and stuff. And the main reason why I'm going is Venus Turzo is going to be a guest there, so you know I have to get my Ranma One-Half art book autographed by her.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Excuse me, I love that. I love that.
I think right now me and my friend were going to do Velma and Shaggy for the con, or Luigi and Daisy. We just haven't figured it out yet.
I will say really quick on the Voltaire thing, I wanted to take a quick step back, because it actually wasn't Dragon Con that introduced me to him. It was Deft that introduced me to him. Because he originally covered that when he was writing like I Love This Song articles for the early stages of VOG Network site. And I remember, because I actually really dug the song that he had picked. And I did not realize, apparently Voltaire is actually just generally pretty popular in Mexico, because he told this whole story on stage about how his girlfriend heard the song of his at the Mexican DMV and like called him to say like your song's on. So he had this whole little monologue about it. He's a very good performer in the fact that he tells stories with his music. So mm-hmm. it's good. And then he played the song in English and Spanish, which I thought was really cute. So yeah,
that is really cool.
Yeah.
You could do a cosplay crossover with Luigi, you know, from Luigi's Mansion and Shaggy.
Well, okay. Before we get into that, Matt, I don't think you've seen it, but I have done Ghostbusters Luigi. It is called Boo Busters Luigi. Proton pack, jumpsuit. The nice. Pack up here is the ghost from Super Mario Brothers, and it glows in the dark. I will post photos on the OLR page for y'all to see it.
I've seen it. I love
awesome.
It. All right, my friend. I'm going to let you go. Take care, and thanks for the call tonight.
No problem. Love you guys. Right. Appreciate you all. See you on the flip side.
All right, hugs and kisses. Bye. Cheesecake. Bye. Right? good to hear from folks. participate at orangelauntrader.com to send us emails. Also in chat, I this was posted like 30 minutes ago in chat. but I want to make sure I answer it because from our very own Bobby Blackwolf, who said, so what are you looking forward to at SGDQ, which is coming up next week?
Even know now.
Next week. I don't think it actually starts until the same night as OLR. I don't remember if it starts that Sunday or if it actually doesn't start till Monday. But I'm looking forward to our very own Bobby Blackwolf doing more announcing, but this time live and in person. That will be I know he's doing Yakuza Like a Dragon is the big one. And I don't mean to I don't mean to say any speedrun is bigger than others. However, Bobby is kind of an honorary part of the Yakuza speedrun community at this point, I think, because he's hosted a lot of them. So that'll be a fun one to see. Although I guess I can only really watch the beginning because I still haven't beat the game. And we know it will spoil the end. But I know he's hosting some other games as well, and so that'll be fun. Bobby says it starts Sunday at noon Eastern. Respectfully, yeah. I have a lot of other things on my mind on Sunday. So if there's a run I really have to see, at least they put everything on YouTube. But I'll watch later in the week for sure.
I was going to say, I don't know what this is, but it sounds awesome. Mega Man Extreme versus Mega Man Extreme 2. 100% Extreme mode. Oh, that's Game Boy Color. Okay.
Looking forward to all the money that will be raised for a worthy cause.
Yes. Is this the Prevent Cancer one, or is this Doctors Without Borders? One of them is...
Either one, you know.
No, they're both worthy causes. But the winner one is always one charity, and the summer one's always the other. Okay, Doctors
they
Without
have
Borders.
A, was it it's Final Fantasy Bobby. 6 Worlds Collide Randomizer? That sounds cool.
I love the randomizers. I would love to watch that. I think the randomizer strategies are really interesting. So those are the things I look forward to. And awful games or silly games, whatever they call it. The silly game block.
I saw there's a McDonald's game that looked pretty funny. I don't know. Super Mario Maker 2, Relay Races, those are always good. Kaizo Super Metroid. I want to see that.
Oh, God. That's going to be wild.
And Super Hot VR, I bet that'd be pretty exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to do, of course, Elden Ring to cap it all off.
You know what? I think y'all just need to watch the whole thing. Except Sunday. They're going to need Sunday to get warmed up. You know, it's the first one in person in a while. So let them get warmed up on Sunday and then Monday
you
on.
Can't you lurk in one and be in both?
You could do both.
You could.
Catch
do
on
you know how many channels YouTube, I lurk yeah. in at one time?
Yes, all of them. All the ones I watch.
It's not my fault. I'm there first.
All right. I think with that, it's about time to wrap up the show so that Darksocker can do her own stream and the rest of us can enjoy the rest of our weekend or what have you. We'll be back in 7 days to do it all again with the 20th anniversary show. If you can believe we haven't been canceled after all these years. Before we do that, we're going to go around and give everybody's final thoughts. Oh, I should say, of course, as I always do, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need more voices to put out here on air. So tell a friend or two about the show. Tell somebody you don't like about the show because maybe they'll like it too. A nice 5-star review, however you found this show, a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Spotify, wherever you found this would go a long way as well. Hosts on Twitch, follows on Twitch for VOG Network, we'll take it all. Thank you again so much for being here. Appreciate you all. Dark Sakura, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is that I follow this person called Eri who on Twitter who does Dead by Daylight Doujinshi. And they are putting up for Doujinshi right now, and I am going to be able to get them. I'm very happy.
Awesome. All right. Have a good post-stream. We'll see you next time.
Later, taters.
All right. And Loki, your final thought tonight.
I can't believe it's going to be 20 years next week.
I know, right?
It's like insane.
Literally, where did the time go? It's bonkers bananas. That's for sure.
20 years and no one still knows who we are.
Yay! Yay! My final thought is, you know, I was expecting a lot more tech hiccups tonight, and we definitely had a couple. But overall, I'm very pleased with this investment in the new computer and just the fact that having the nice fresh restart to clear out all the old drivers and everything else, like, it's just, it's nice and everything's running so smoothly. I don't think we've missed hardly any frames tonight. It's been very lovely. And yeah, I'm looking forward to being encouraged to get back into streaming some more games. I definitely have a backlog myself. I do want to get into that. So thank you for bearing with me while I've been waiting to have a computer that's a little more capable of doing that. So I'm out of excuses now. That's it. We'll see you in 7 days to do this all again. It's a pretty big week, and I hope some blasts in the past will show up. I hope you will show up. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.